Morning. Today's daf is daf mem in brachos. We're on Lamed Tes Amud Beis, and we're about 5 lines from the top of the page. Hitmar. So right now is in the middle of discussing brachos in general, halachos of bracha. Yesterday we went through a discussion of brachos to make over soup, vegetable soup over fruit soup. You remember the Gemara said yesterday that if I eat water which was cooked with vegetables and therefore infused with the taste of vegetables, so therefore the Gemara says that it has the status of vegetables, and just like by a vegetable I make a bari pri adama, so too I make over the water as well, the flavored water. And so Tosfos points out, this is yesterday's daf, no Tosfos notes that doesn't seem to fit in with what we learned earlier, that if I squeeze a date and I extract the juice out of the date, so there at Shahakol, it's not, so what's the difference? So if you remember, Tosfos said, yesh l'chalek, you can make a distinction. I quoted yesterday the Rosh and the Rambam. The Rambam, by the way, the Rashba agrees with the Rambam as well. There are two different ways to make distinctions. You go back to yesterday's daf, but that's just a quick synopsis of what we talked about yesterday. Then the Gemara moved into a new discussion, which really is going to almost take over the entire daf today, and that is making a bracha over broken bread. Meaning, when you make a bracha over bread, really it should be bishlema, it should be in a whole loaf. And the reason being is because that's really the kavod. That's an honorific way of making a bracha, is where I'm not making a piece over a scrap of bread or a crumb of bread, but rather making a bracha over a whole loaf of bread. So the Gemara, you said yesterday that given the choice of having a broken bread or a whole loaf of bread, so therefore whole loaf of bread should definitely be the one you're making a bracha over. And this is not necessarily a Shabbos-related halacha, this is just a general halacha. Hilchos brachos that you should make making a bracha over a whole loaf of bread. The Gemara yesterday talked about when exactly should I be cutting the bread when I make the bracha, meaning, assuming that of course I'm starting with a whole loaf of bread, so I'm cutting the bread when exactly? So right before the bracha, as I'm concluding the bracha, right after the bracha. So the Gemara yesterday voiced a number of opinions in terms of when exactly should be cutting the bread. Yesterday, according to Tosfos says Shabbos may be different, because on Shabbos we need lechem mishnah, we need 2 whole loaves of bread, even after the conclusion of the bracha. So Tosfos points out that on Shabbos, according to everyone, the cutting should occur after the bread. Not even the beginning of a cut should occur before making the bracha, but rather you should make the bracha and then start cutting the bread on Shabbos. During the rest of the week, however, a small incision into the bread to get you started, so to say, make the bracha, and finish cutting the bread. Itmar, we start with now the Gemara, we're on Lamed Tes Amud Beis. We're about 6 lines from the top of the Amud at the 2 dots. Evilif name petitim v'shleimim. So you brought in front of you broken pieces and a whole loaf of bread. Amar Rav Huna, mevarachal petitim v'patios v'shleimim. So Rav Huna says that you make a bracha over the petitim, the broken pieces of bread, and that'll exempt you from the shlema. Rav Yochanan amar shlema mitzvah min amovchar. And Rav Yochanan says what we've been saying up until this very point in time, but Rav Yochanan says it clearly and codifies it. No, shlema is mitzvah min amovchar. It is a better mitzvah, it's a more complete mitzvah to make the bracha over the shlema, over the whole loaf of bread, and not the prusa.
Why Rabbi Huna prefers the other one?
Yeah, good question.
If there's availability.
The way Rashi presents it, Rashi over here is not saying it's preferable, but you simply have a choice. If you take a look at the second Rashi, Rashi says, "Imratza mevarach al petitim ve'im petitim gedolim min hashlema tzorach levarach aleihem." It's almost like you have an option. It's not that he's not saying you have to. Okay, now aval prusa shachitim u'shlema min hasa'arim divrakol mevarach al prusa shachitim u'poster shlema shel sa'arim. Now let's say you have the following choice in front of you: a whole loaf of barley bread or pieces of wheat bread. Now, barley versus wheat, we've said this many times over, wheat's better than barley. Barley is generally speaking given to the animals, unless you want to put in the shulchan, but and wheat is generally made into bread, and not only that, but as Rashi points out as well, in the Pasuk, wheat is mentioned before barley. First it says chita, then it says sa'ora. So wheat's better than bread. Better than barley. So if the choice is a whole loaf of barley, so on one hand it's whole, on the other hand it's just barley, or the other hand you have broken pieces of wheat bread, so then the Gemara says, "Divrei Halakha Mevarach L'Prusa Shochitim Potos Hashlema Shel Sa'arim." There it's a no-brainer. There the bracha is on the broken pieces of the wheat bread. Now I'm Rav Yirmiyah Bar Abba Ketanai. Now presumably what we're seeing over here is a machlokas, which we could fit into a machlokas Tanayim. And the machlokes goes like this: Tormim batzo katan shalem avalo chati batzo gadol. And Rav Yehuda Omer lo ki alachati batzo gadol. Let's say you have the following decision to make: I have to give truma, so I have my local kohen and I have onions in front of me, and I'm taking trumas off my onions. Now truma off onions is a din derabbanan, it's not a din deraisa, right? We've talked about this many times. Onion is a vegetable. So, okay, but still, in other words, but still, there's a din derabbanan to take off trumas. So here's my choices. I'm looking at my onions right now. I got a couple of small onions, and I got a nice big one, but I already cut in half. So I can either give the Kohen a half of a big onion or a whole small onion. And let's assume that whatever I'm giving is going to satisfy my obligation in terms of proportions of what I need to give him. Leave that out of the equation, out of the discussion. Right now, just simply, let's put it out on the table. Would you prefer, Dan, a small onion or a large half onion? So, before answering...
A small
one,
sorry.
before answering... So, the Gemara says it's a machlokas. So, the... And let's go over this again. Torment, batso katan, shalem. So the Tanakam is of the opinion that you give him, just like you said, a small whole onion. And Rav Yehuda says, no, give him the bigger piece, even though it's broken. And so perhaps what they're arguing about over here is basically what we've been discussing. Meaning, if I have something which qualitatively is good, but broken already up into pieces, or if I have something which not as qualitatively as good, but is shalem. So which one's better? So the Gemara says, perhaps that's exactly the machlokes in this Mishnah. The Gemara says, no. So the Gemara says, no. If the Kohen's present and right there for you, and you are actually handing it to him, give him the more significant piece. The bigger piece. That's what you give the Kohen. Don't give him something small, even though it may be shalem, but give him the bigger, better piece.
You could ask him.
That's already going too far. So keep leaking the lake of Kohen. The Gemara says that the whole debate over here is where there's no Kohen, did not come akum sheish Kohen Torin min ayafim. Look, we have another Mishnah. And the Mishnah says if Kohen's right there in front of him, you give him the choice piece, he's the Kohen, and so you give him the best. V'chomakum sheish ba Kohen, but if there is no Kohen, Torin min ha miskayim, and Rav Yehuda Omer ein Torin ela min ayafim. So here now, it's a question of pragmatism versus...
Right.
Giving the best thing that you can. Meaning, from a pragmatic standpoint, look, I don't know when I'm going to see a coin next. I know I have to take off truma. I can't eat anything else until I take off truma. So why don't I do this? Why don't I take off a piece, or in this case, an onion, that will last for a long time? If it's cut already, it's obviously going to be opening to spoil earlier. So I'll set aside for him a smaller onion, but it's whole, and it'll last longer. That's one opinion. The other opinion over here is that, no, according to Rav Yehuda, you take off the best piece, you always take off the best piece. It's cut, it's gonna spoil earlier, okay? Doesn't matter. In other words, your responsibility is to take off the best piece.
Exposing the coins to the shoes, basically.
Yeah, so you're correct. In other words, there's so many ways that you can learn up this machlokas, meaning once you take it off, it already belongs to the coin. Right. It's not yours anymore. That's one way to learn it up. You can learn it up that the mitzvah of Nesina is a mitzvah almost like a din in like midos for you, like to give him the best. Anyway, Amar Nachman Yitzchak Vayari Shemaim Yosei Yidei Shneim. And if you're a Yari Shemaim, so obviously you should try to accomplish both. Umana Marbere Deravina, Demarbere Ravina, Minech Prusa Besoch Hashlema Uvotzea. Now Marbere Deravina would do the following. Meaning, he had both a whole piece and a broken piece, and the broken piece was qualitatively better, and the whole piece was whole. So, a whole loaf. And so what did he do? He made a bracha over both. He wrapped up the two of them, and he made a bracha over both. Now, when I say wrapped up, meaning it was soft. So you could stick the broken piece inside the whole piece or whatever, the other way around. And then you made a bracha over both. It's like a lafa, if you will.
That's like Shabbat, I think.
And the Gemara says, and we have a brisa that says exactly that. That if you have a whole piece and a half piece, so you take the half piece and the whole piece, and you hold them together, and you make a bracha over both. Now, I don't know, I don't think the Gemara is saying that you have to have a whole piece and a half piece. It just simply means that if given the choice where you have both, and you're not sure which way to go. Should I go with the broken piece, which is the one I want, or the whole piece, which is what I should do? So make a bracha over both. Amale Mashimcha Amale Salomon. So he says, what's your name? So he says, my name is Solomon. So Amale Shalomata Vishlema Mishnasecha Shasanta Shalom Benatamidim. Good. That's a great way of keeping peace, meaning it's Solomonic in that you took the whole piece, you took the half piece, you made a bracha for both, and that's a good job. Good job out of you. Amar Papa Hakomodim Pesach Shemaniach Prusabatoch Shlema Votseya. Now when it comes to Pesach, so we have exactly this scenario on Pesach. Every Pesach, we walk right into this scenario where we have a whole piece and we have a broken piece. Why do we have a broken piece? Yachatz, because during the Seder, I broke the piece. It's in the Haggadah, right? My instructions are the Haggadah. I just follow the instructions. It says, take the middle matzah and break the middle matzah. So now on Pesach, you actually are in the scenario where you have a whole piece and a broken piece. And when you make the bracha, you should make it on both the whole piece and the broken piece. Now the discussion over here gets a little bit more complex because how many matzahs do you have on Pesach? So I know we've all been at a Seder before, once, twice, maybe even more. So the answer is three. We have three matzahs. So the Gemara never says it, by the way. It's just a note. It's a nice note. Gemara never says that you have to have three matzahs on Pesach. In fact, the Gemara over here sounds like you're only going to have two matzahs at the Seder, and of those two, one of them you're going to break. In fact, the Rambam, when he records how the Seder works, he says, how many matzahs do you have? The Rambam writes, you have two. You have two matzahs. You take one and you break one. Now, why our minug? We don't follow the Rambam's minug. You don't either. You have three, right? Okay. So we don't follow the Rambam's minug. Why don't we follow the Rambam's minug? So because we're bothered by the following. If I take one and I break it, so what happened to my Lecha Mishnah? Meaning because Yontif and Shabbos are the same, which we're going to learn about it in just a moment in the Gemara, that you need Lecha Mishnah, you need two whole loaves in order to for Shabbos. So if I come to the Seder and I have two matzahs, and that's good, that's Lecha Mishnah, but then I break one, because the Haggadah told me to, which is not the real reason why, but in other words, it's fine. For our purposes, it's fine. So now I'm going to only have 1.5 pieces of matzah. I don't have Lecha Mishnah. So what we do, our minhag is to have a third piece. We put the third piece underneath the first two. So when we make the bracha of hamotzi, we have Lecha Mishnah. Now what happens after we make the bracha of hamotzi? We drop the lower piece. We're now holding in our hand the full matzah and the broken matzah. Good. And now you make the bracha of Asher Kishan Mitzav Sivan Alechalas Matzah. Why? As per our Gemara right here in Bracha. Staff Lam Tetzim and Beis. Now, and by the way, and the Rambam, if we're going to defend the Rambam says that you only have two matzahs and you're breaking one of the two, what happens to Lecha Mishnah? So you're going to say very simply, and it's very simple, I think, is that according to the Rambam, on Pesach, a broken matzah is a matzah. Meaning part of the mitzvah halayla is to eat lechem oni, poor man's bread. So tonight, I mean not tonight, but in other words, you understand at the Seder table, so this matzah is matzah, meaning it's lechem. It's lechem oni. So it attains the status of a loaf of bread, even though it's broken. Okay, now Amar Av Abba of Shabbos, Chayav Adam Lipsoa, Shteki Karos. Shabbos, you need two loaves. My time of Lecha Mishnah Ksiv, because the Pasuk in B'shach says it's Lecha Mishnah. Because remember, the man didn't come down on Shabbos. It only came down on Friday, double portion on Friday. So to reenact and to symbolize that, it is Zech Laman. So therefore, we have two loaves of bread. Lecha Mishnah. Friday night, two loaves, Shabbos, second meal, I should say, whatever you want to call it, lunch, breakfast, depending on where you live. Here in America, it's 1 o'clock in the afternoon. In Eretz Yisrael, it's 10 o'clock in the morning. Okay. I like those days in Eretz Yisrael. But anyway, much better. But and then Shal Shudas, whenever you Shal Shudas. So the Shulchan Aruch writes that you should have two loaves at all three meals. Right, mitzvah mina mufchar is to have Lecha Mishnah also during Shal Shudas as well. If you don't have Lecha Mishnah Shal Shudas, Shulchan Aruch says it's okay, but lichachila you should have it at all three meals. Amar Rav Ashi Chazin Alei Rav Kahana Danaki Tarte Ubatza Chada. Now, the minhag of Rav Kahana was to hold two, but he would only break one of those two loaves of bread on Shabbos. And Rav Zera Hava Batza Kula Shir Yusa. Now, Rav Zera, when he would break it on Kula Shir Yusa. Slightly unclear what that means on Kula Shir Yusa. If you take a look at Rashi, Rashi says, Prusa Gedola Shai Ishi Hayadailo, Lechola Suda Bishabbos, he would break it into large pieces. It's recorded in the Shulchan Aruch that when you are the one breaking the bread at the Shabbos table, so you should break it into big pieces and hand out big pieces. People tend to be, especially if they're guests at somebody else's house, not to be comfortable to take challah. So you, as a balabas, should make sure that you give them large pieces. And that's what our Gemara, at least according to Rashi, is saying over here, that you should break it up into big pieces. There's a comment by the Rashba, which didn't make its way into Shulchan Aruch, but the Rashba says, no, he doesn't believe that's Pshat in the Gemara at all. He believes, let's go back over the last two lines of the Gemara, he believes that Rav Zera is arguing with Rav Kahana. Meaning Rav Kahana, let's go back one line of the Gemara, Rav Kahana, Naki Tarte Ubatza Chada, Rav Kahana would hold both loaves of bread on Shabbos, but he would only break one of the loaves, and Rav Zera Avabatza Akula Shir Yusa. And Rav Zera, what would he do? He would break both loaves of bread. Meaning on Shabbos, he would make the bracha and cut open both loaves of bread. That's the Rashba says. That's what Rav Zera means when he says Kula Shir Yusa. And who follows this? La Halacha the Gaon, the Vilna Gaon. He says that when you make motzi on Shabbos, Friday night, Shabbos lunch, Shal Shudas, you should cut through both loaves of bread and not just one. And what do you gain from that? First of all, the pshat in our Gemara, meaning that's the Gaon says that's what our Gemara means based on the Rashba's comment. And number two, the Vilna Gaon says he also gained the following. By the end of Shabbos now, how many loaves do you have? By the end of Shabbos. Meaning every meal you start with two, you're going to cut each one right after you make the bracha. So in other words, at every meal, you're going to have not really four loaves, but four pieces, if you will. You're going to do that Friday night, and you're going to do that Shabbos morning, and you're going to do that again Shal Shudas. So how many, I'm going to say loaves, but not really loaves. How many pieces do you have in total? 12. So, and what's so significant about 12? So that's the Lechem Aponim. Lechem Aponim had 12 loaves of bread. And when was the Lechem Aponim eaten in the Beis HaMikdash? On Shabbos. So the Gaon says that's what you gain by both learning the Gemara this way and practicing that way as well. The Gemara continues. Amalei Rav Nila Rav Ashi V'Akam Ischazik Rav Nusa. You cut it into big pieces. You're gonna look like a glutton at the table. So Amalei Kevin Dechol Yumalo Kavet Achi V'Aidna Kavet Lo Mischazik Rav Nusa. So he says, no. The rest of the week, you're not doing this. You're not cutting large pieces. You're not giving out large pieces during the rest of the week. You're eating modestly, sparsely, and then on Shabbos you eat large pieces, so you understand this is Lekavod Shabbos. Ravami Ravasi Kava Misram Le Rifta de Erava Mavarkalava Mosakamanarts. Ravami Ravasi, when they got the loaf of bread for the Erev Tchumim, every Shabbos you have to make an Erev Tchumim. And I didn't mean Erev Tchumim, by the way. I meant Erev Chatzeres, sorry, I misspoke. You need an Erev Chatzeres, meaning if I want to carry from my house into the chatzer, or from the chatzer to somebody else's house. So you need an erev around the community. Now, right, the common misconception is the erev is that little string around the community. It's part of the erev, but that's not the erev. Meaning the erev is that loaf of bread that everyone in the enclosed area, in the chatzer, contributes. And then once everyone contributes, now we've basically unified the community, so now I can carry from my house to the chatzer, and from the chatzer to somebody else's house. Okay, that was the Masechta Erevin in 30 seconds. There's a lot more detail, but anyway, you remember this past Friday afternoon, all of us contributed the bread into the Erev Chatzeros, so you probably don't remember because you'll be happy to know that somebody did it on your behalf. Meaning, huh? And right, and they didn't do it this past Friday afternoon. They did it several months ago, but where are you going to find it? So you go into the shul office downstairs, and tucked away there's a box of matzahs. Matzah is very good because matzah keeps from year to year. So, so what Rav Am and Rav Asi would do is they would take the bread of the Erev Chatzeros, and it doesn't say Shal Shudas, I'll say Shal Shudas just because to me the story makes sense that way, and they would eat the bread at Shal Shudas, and they would say the following. So Amar Holvis Avid Be Mitzvah Chara Navid Be Mitzvah Achrita. Why not pile on the mitzvahs? Meaning we already use the bread for the mitzvah of Erev Chatzeros. The mitzvah of Erev Chatzeros is the mitzvah of the Rabbanan. Okay? So, but once the bread is already used for a mitzvah, let's do it again. Let's use the bread for another mitzvah, which is Oneg Shabbos. Enjoying the Shabbos, having a Shabbos meal using this very same bread. Amar Rav. We're on the top of Daf Mem Amud Aleph, and we are going to continue with the brachas of bread eating. Amar Rav Tol Baruch. Now, you made the bracha of Hamotzi. It's funny, we're not really talking about washing right now. We're talking about you made the bracha of Hamotzi, and then, right after you made the bracha of Hamotzi, you start giving out pieces, and you start talking. And you say, Tol Baruch, here, take the blessed piece of bread. Take the blessed piece of bread. In Inetzarech Levarech. So, you don't have to make a new bracha. Well, what's the concern? The concern is, says Rashi, Hesach Hadas, that you made a, you interrupted between the bracha and the eating of the bread. But as we know, anything that has to do with the bread itself is not a Hesach Hadas, and so therefore, you're good. You don't have to make a new bracha samotzi. However, Havei Melech, Havei Liftan, Tzarech Levarech. But let's say after you make the bracha samotzi, you then turn to somebody at the table and say, you know what, pass me the salt. So according to this first opinion, that's no good. You just interrupted between your bracha and your bread eating, and you got to make a new bracha again. Rav Yochanan Amar, I feel like Hevi'o Melech.
It was a requirement, so.
Rav Yochanan Amar, I feel like Hevi'o Melech. Rav Yochanan disagrees.
Right.
Asking for salt is not a hefsek. Asking for a condiment is not a hefsek. Now, gvil l'turei, tzarech levarech. Now, let's say we do it like this. Gvil l'turei, let's say right after I make the bracha of Hamotzi, I remember, oh no, I forgot to feed my animal. Mm-hmm. And so after I make the bracha of Hamotzi, I now turn to somebody and I say, quickly, go soak the bran for the animal. So, according to a first opinion, that's a hefsek. And Rav Sheshe says, "I feel like vilatory, not me, no tzarech levarech." And Rav Sheshe says, "No, that's not a hefsek." I'm Rav Yehuda. I'm a Rav Asal Adam Sheochel Kodem Shitem Achle Behemto. You're not allowed to eat until you feed your animals first. Shenem Avinasati Yisub Tzarech Alevem Techa VeHadar VeAchalta VeSavata. We say this every day in Shema. We may not have noticed it, but in the Psukim, it first mentions you're going to have food for your animal, and then you yourself are going to eat. And if you watch and study the chronology very carefully, you'll see, first comes your animal, then comes you. So if after the bracha of Hamotzi you remembered, oh no, I forgot to feed my animal, and you say something that instructs somebody to feed your animal, that's not considered a hefsek. Why? Because that's really what you should do. The correct sequence is that first your animal should eat, and then you yourself should eat after that. Okay. Interesting, take a look at Tosfos. First Tosfos on this Amud. Tosfos says, salt at the table. Yes, no. Where do we stand on salt at the table? For our bread. And I'm going to skip the beginning of Tosfos, and I'm going to go, Ve'anu ein anu. It is right in the middle of that first Tosfos. It's the last word in the line. And Tosfos writes, Ve'anu ein anu regim lahavi l'ashokhan lo melech v'lo liftan. Mishum depashal anu chashov. So, says Tosfos, you don't have to bring salt to our table nowadays, even though the minhag b'zman ha-gemara very clearly was to bring salt, and not just on Shabbos, in general. Meaning, you have to understand, when they baked their bread, they baked it with no salt. Meaning, their bread was very simple. It was flour and water. No eggs, no oil. Now, it's not the fancy stuff that we have. So, right nowadays, says Tosfos, and apparently the minhag of bread making changed already by Tosfos, so we don't need salt. You don't have to wait for the salt. We'll see the Gemara in just a moment. But Rabbi Menachem was very careful to bring salt to the table. And he quotes a medrash that supports his position. So he uses a medrash to advance the thinking that I need salt at the table even nowadays, even though our bread tastes wonderful. And our bread doesn't really need salt. Because you know that scene on Shabbos where the first person starts washing his hands and now he comes back to the table and he can't talk. And now you have a table of silent people. So now, is that a good thing or a bad thing? So I always think that's a great thing. That's my favorite time at the meal. But the Medrash says it's a terrible thing. Why? Because v'hein below mitzvos. Because right now no one's talking and no one's talking divrei Torah. Oh, I love that. I love that picture of Tosfos assuming, the Medrash assuming, that when we're talking at the table, we're only saying Divrei Torah. And so now, if we... I love it. Wow. It's Musa right here in Tosfos. So, and then, so when we're washing our hands, and so now no one's talking, and no one's saying Divrei Torah, so now what? So the Medrash says, Satan mekatreg aleihem. And so now the Satan has a wonderful opportunity. Hey, they're at the meal and no one's talking to Divrei Torah. Boy, this Musa is wonderful. Ubriz melech megin aleihem. So now what is going to serve as a protection? The Medrash says that salt. That salt serves as a protection. Everyone understand? A little bit. I understand a little bit. I'm not saying I really do understand, but in other words, it's bris melach. You know that whenever we bring a carbon up onto the Mizbeach, so every piece of carbon needs to be salted. It's bris melach. It's part of the covenant of salt. And the idea is simply, it's all I can provide. It's just a simple idea, is that salt is a miskayim. It's a preserver. And just like salt preserves food, salt also preserves our relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. So when you have this bris melach, this covenant of salt on the table, it also serves as a way of protecting and preserving the Jewish people. So Rav Menachem, even though practically we don't eat salt for our food, but from a shmira standpoint, we need salt. Okay. Amar Rav Bar Shmuel, we're back to the Gemara. Mishum Rabbi Chiya Eina Batzei Rashal Levsoa Chiyavo Melech O Leftan Lefnei Kol Echad VeEchad. And everybody needs salt at the table. Not just you, not just the Baabas, but put little salt in front of everyone. Or liftan, or any other type of condiment. Rav Bar Shmuel Ikol Abei Reish Galus Afikol Ei Rifto Vatsa Lehadei. So he took the bread and he was botzeya. Amar Le Hadamar Mishmaite. So he says, now wait a second, and not everyone has salt. What are you doing? You having charata? Are you being chozer? I'm a little late in tzarech boshesh. Now we don't have to wait for the salt. I don't agree. I'm a Rav Bar Shmuel, Mishum Rabbi Chiya, Ein Mei Raglaim Kalim Ela B'Yeshiva. Now, this is, by the way, non sequitur. We're now moving to a different topic, but the reason, the connection, you always have to find a connection. The Gemara is not just totally random. And the connection is the same Baal Memra, meaning we just quoted Rabbah Bar Shmuel in the name of Rabbi Chiya, so we're going to quote another statement that he makes. Is the connection deeper than that? Probably, but right now that's the best I can offer you. It's the same Baal Memra. Ein mei raglaim kalim ela b'yeshiva. The best position to be in while urinating is while sitting. Amar Rav Kahana, now why should that be? So Rashi explains. Because if you're standing, what's going to happen is that as you get to the end of your relieving yourself, so you're not going to want any of the urine to splash onto your pants. I think recently we just spoke about that and the problems that results in, that people will think you're a kroshavcha and that your children are mamzerim. Okay, we went through it not so long ago. Anyway, so therefore, if you sit, you're going to... I'm sorry, so if you stand, the problem is that as you get to the end, you're going to basically now just stop at towards the end, meaning forcefully stop it at the end, and that's medically unhealthy. Right? It's just simply not a healthy practice. So you want all the urine to flow out, and so therefore you should be sitting. Now, if you happen to be urinating on soft ground, so that's good because it won't bounce back on you. In other words, it'll just absorb it, and so therefore you will not have any reservation whatsoever of allowing all the urine to flow out of your body. Or the Gemara gives another piece of advice, which doesn't work here in Florida because everything here is flat. But in other words, urinate on an incline, and go downhill. Amar Rav Bar Shmuel Mishmei de Rav Chiya Acher Kol Achilatcha Echol Melech. After all food, so finish it up with a little bit of salt. And v'acher kol shtiyascha shaseh mayim. And after you drink, tap everything off with a little bit of water. Okay, so your meal should end with something salty, and your drinking should end with water. V'ata nizok, and if you do this, you will not get harmed. Okay, so medical health advice of the Gemara is salt at the end of the meal, water at the end of drinking. Quotes another braisa. Now here this braisa will be telling us the same thing, but just in the negative and not in the positive. If you don't eat salt at the end of the meal, or if you don't drink water at the end of drinking, but yom yidag min areach hapeh, so during the day you're going to worry about reach hapeh, which sounds like bad breath, halitosis. If alayla yidag min askara, but at night you should worry about askara. Now that's a bad thing. That's a the Gemara said not that long ago, the worst way to die, type of asphyxiation. You want to drown your food in water, which means, not before you eat, but in other words, as the food now is in your stomach, so flush it down with water. Water at the end of the meal. And if you do so, you will have no intestinal problems. Okay. Problem solved. The comma, now Amar Chista, ketone, lapas. The ratio of one ketone for every loaf of bread that you eat. How much is a ketone? I'm not sure. Lentils once a month in your house. But not lentils every day. Again, it's bad for the bad breath. It causes bad breath. Mustard seeds once a month. But not every day. My time the it creates a weak heart. What's the term?
Heart failure,
cardiomyopathy. Okay. Amar Rabbi Chiya bar Ashi Amar Rav Haraga b'dagin ketanim, eino bali dechole me'ayim. Small fish, herring. Okay, the minug of eating herring is right here on today's daf. And the Gemara says it's a good minug. So you will have no intestinal problems if you eat herring, says the Gemara. It's literally comes from the words peru revu, meaning it regenerates, it makes you stronger. It makes you umavre, it makes you healthy. Umavre kogufo sho'odam. So it is worth it, says the Gemara, to elbow your way through the kiddush in order to get to the herring.
Correct.
Now ketzach, I don't know, and Rashi tries to help me on this. What is it? He says fennel. I'll take his word for it. Okay, right. I'm saying Rashi tries. I give him credit for trying to help me. So araga beketzach eno bali de kev lev. So if you eat the ketzach, the fennel, so you won't lead to kev lev. Mezer Shimon Gamliel omer ketzach echa mishishim simani amavesu. Now the Gemara quotes Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, which is stira. It says that eating fennel is not good. Simani hamaves. Ve'ayash lemizrach grano dama b'rasho. And sleeping to the east basically you're taking your life into your own hands. Now, Lokasha, now let's go back to that fennel issue, because on one hand we said it was good, on the other hand we said it was really bad. So, Lokasha, Aberecha, Abitamo. Eating the fennel is good, smelling the fennel, that's not good. Don't smell the fennel. So how do you eat something without smelling it? Next Gemara. Ime de Rabbi Yirmiah, Api Le Rifta, the mother of Rabbi Yirmiah. Rabbi Yirmiah, who you remember, had a great sense of humor. I guess his mother did as well. So, right? Am I right? That was Rabbi Yirmiah? Yep. Very good sense of humor. So so his mother, what she did is the following. She baked bread. She would put the fennel in the bread. And she wrapped up the bread so that the fennel was inside. So he was able to eat the fennel, but without having to smell the fennel. Rabbi Yudah Amar Borim Mine Deshaim. Okay, and finally, our last point of the Mishnah. Okay, do you remember when we did the Mishnah? That was a long time ago. Wow. The Mishnah took us all the way back to Daf Lamed Hay. The Mishnah talked about the various brachas that you make over fruits and vegetables. So peras ha'il on fruit of a tree, it's bari priya eitz, and basically fruit of the ground, cantaloupe, watermelon, honeydew, bari priya adama, and what about your actual greens, your vegetables? So machlokis in the Mishnah. So Ala Yirakus Omer Bar Pri Adama. So the Tanakama's position, which is accepted halachic position, cucumber, lettuce, all your greens of the ground, Bar Pri Adama. And Rav Yehuda Omer Bari Minei Deshaim. And Rav Yehuda says no, it's Bari Minei Desha. It's a grass. You're eating grass. I know a lot of people feel that way. So the Gemara says Amar Rav Yehuda. I'm sorry. Amar Rabbi Zera Vitemer Rabbi Chinan Abba Papa in Halachic Rav Yehuda. So number one, the halacha does not fall like Rav Yehuda. Okay? It's interesting. I don't know. In other words, just a with the simple Klalei Apsak, it's a Yachid Barabim, Halachic Rabim. So why does he specifically have to tell us this over here? Okay? It's a question. Amar Rav Zera Vitemer Rabbi Chinan Abba Papa. My Tamid Rav Yehuda Makra, Baruch Hashem Yom Yom. So the pasuk says in Tehillim that you bless HaKadosh Baruch Hu daily. Now what's pshat? Now don't tell me the pshat is that you make a bracha during the day, but you don't make a bracha at night. And in other words, that's simply not the pshat. In other words, every day you don't just simply say the same bracha, but you give a bracha to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that is specific to that given day. Okay. In other words, personalize and individualize your brachas. So Hakanami, Kominomin, Telom Ein Birchasav. And Rav Yehuda says, okay, that's not just a hashkafic standpoint. He understands it halachically as well. Meaning that if I have vegetation that comes off the ground, leaves, lettuce, iceberg lettuce, so in other words, I should be a bracha unique to what it is. To just simply say, Borei Pri Hadama, that's general. Say something that's specific to this. Borei Minei Deshaim. It's a desha. It's vegetation. We're not the same as a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Midas Basav Adam, Kli Reikon Machzik Malay Eno Machzik. Look, when it comes to Midas Basav Adam, when we have any type of bowl or utensil, so when can it hold something? When it's empty. But if it's full, it can't hold anything. Okay, simple. Natural properties of how things work in this world. Ava HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but when it comes to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and when the Gemara says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it not only means HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but it means our spiritual element. Eino Kein. Male Machzik Reiko Eino Machzik. If you want to fill your head has to be filled, full. Right? I say this in learning Gemara all the time. You know when you learn Gemara, you have to know Gemara to learn Gemara. Right, I know. It doesn't sound smart, and maybe it's not. But in other words, right. In other words, you can really appreciate and understand things if you know things. But if you don't know things, then you're not going to appreciate. You're not going to understand. So that's the way it generally works. It's machzik. I'm sorry. So malay machzik. If it's already full with things, so then it can hold and retain other things. But rake under. But if your head is empty, in a machzik, so it's not going to hold anything. Shenemar vayomim shamoa tishma. See the double language? Right? Shema Tishma, it's called. Okay, in other words, second paragraph for Shema. Im Shema Tishma, v'im lav lo Tishma. If you already heard it, so then you're going to hear it. But if you didn't hear it, then you're not going to hear it. Okay? Think about it. It's a very powerful idea. Davar achi im Shema b'yashin Tishma b'chadash v'im yifena l'vavcha shiv lo Tishma. If you heard something old, so then you will also be able to hear something new. But if you turn your heart away, so then lo zishma, then you're not going to be able to hear anything. Okay. And basically it means to not only say the Gemara, but to go over the Gemara as well. We start the next Mishnah. Birech al ha-peros ha-ilam bori pri ha-dama. Yatsa. What if you make a mistake? Okay, it's a fruit. You're holding an apple in your hand. And by accident, you don't say the bracha, the correct bracha, bori pri ha-eitz, but you say bori pri ha-dama. Yatsa, you have fulfilled your obligation. It's not the you didn't make the best bracha you could, but it'll work. Valperisa aritz bar priya eitz lo yatsa, but it doesn't work the other way. Meaning, if you're holding a vegetable in your hand or a cantaloupe in your hand, and you make a bar priya eitz, you have not fulfilled your obligation. Well, I mean, in other words, it works one way, but it doesn't work the other way. That's a chiddush. And why? Why is that so? And it's very simple. Because the Bari Priya Eitz is a more specific bracha. So it only works on something that which is a fruit of the tree. But it doesn't work even b'di'evit for a fruit of the ground. Bari Priya Adama is a general bracha, so it'll work for basically anything that comes from the ground. So lichatchila, if you're holding a fruit in your hand, an apple, an orange, so you should say a bari pri eitz. But if you say bari pri adama, b'dieved, it'll work. V'akulam. Yeah. So the answer is really no. Meaning that and watch, because your question is really relevant in the upcoming line of the Mishnah. V'akulam imamar shakol niyabidvaro yatsa. Now, if by anything you say the bracha of shakol, so you have fulfilled your obligation. It's interesting, I will point this out, that the Mishnah didn't introduce us to the bracha of shahakol. Right? Meaning, the first Mishnah, back all the way back on Lamed Hey, tells us, here's the bracha for fruit, it's called bari pri eitz. Here's the bracha for vegetables, it's called bari pri adama. Wine, bread. Meaning, it introduced us to the bracha. It never introduced us to the bracha of shahakol. And over here, it's kind of like the Mishnah said, and oh, by the way, if you say a shahakol, it'll work. Yeah,
it's like the catch-all.
I don't know how to articulate this, but shahakol is like a, not, it's not, right, it's a default bracha, it's somewhere even less than a default bracha, it's whatever. Yeah. Trying to say something, I'm not sure what. Mantana de ikar ilan arahu. Now, when we talk about the tree is really the ground. And I sound like I'm speaking so deeply today. So the tree is really the ground. So Amar Rav Nachman, Rav Yitzchak, Rav Yehuda, he did not. So that position really could be articulated best by Rav Yehuda because of the following Mishnah. Now, before we learn this Mishnah, Bikurim, so let's go over. First fruits that grow every year, so I cut them off. You wrap a ribbon around it, then you cut it off, and then what do you do with these fruits? You take them to your Yerushalayim with pomp and circumstance. So Mishnayos and Bikurim give a beautiful illustration of how you're going to Yerushalayim with the fruit. And then you bring it in the basket, and you put it next to the Mizbeach, and you give it to the Kohen. And then, last week's Parsha, remember? And then there's a formula on what you're supposed to say. There's a kriya of what you're reading while you go through the process. If you look at the Sefer Chinuch, he counts this as two separate mitzvahs. It's one mitzvah to bring the fruit, and it's another mitzvah to be kori, to read. Okay. The Mishnah over here discusses the following. Yavish ha-ma'ayan v'niktsas ha'ilan maybe ve'inu kare. Let's say that after you have the fruit now and you're going to Yerushalayim, but right before you went to Yerushalayim, the well dried up. The reservoir dried up. In other words, the land is no longer getting irrigated. Or I'm not sure what the right conjunction is, the tree was cut. So in other words, the tree is no longer there. And so now you're bringing a fruit to Yerushalayim, but the tree, the source of this fruit, is no longer around. So the Tanakhama says, you'll bring the fruit, you still have the mitzvah of Bikurim, but you cannot read the parsha of Havas Bikurim. You lose the mitzvah of reading. Why? Because in the pasuk it says, Al ha'adama asher natata li. Meaning, I'm thanking you, Kadosh Baruch Hu, over the land that you gave me. But there's no longer a tree. So you can't read. And Rav Yehuda Omer, mevi v'kare. And Rav Yehuda says, no. You still bring the fruit, and you also do the mitzvah of reading as well. So why? Because even though the pasuk says, min ha'adama asher nasata li, what's the adama going on? The adama is going on the land. Is the land still there? Sure it is. The tree might not be there, but the land's still there. So in other words, by you saying this psukim, you're not contradicting the reality. The reality is the land's still there, and so therefore you could still say these psukim, you still have it. So what do you see according to Rav Yehuda, that when we say the bracha, bari pri ha'adama, it's going on the land. And even though you're holding a fruit in your hand, and even though the fruit comes from a tree, but still fundamentally at its source, or really, pun intended, at its root, is the land, and so therefore the bracha bar pri adama is shayach to be said over a fruit. Lechachila, you shouldn't. The bracha bar pri eitz, but at least b'diavad it'll work. Al peres haaretz pshita amar Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak lo nitzricha ela l'Rav Yehuda damar chita min ilan hi. Now Rav Yehuda says that a wheat is not a vegetable slash grain. It's a tree. The stalk of the wheat is a tree. Now, how does he arrive at that conclusion? Now, by the way, that has a lot of halachic ramifications, meaning like we talked about not that long ago, arla. Arla is a halacha that applies to trees, not to vegetables and not to bushes or grains. It only applies to trees. So Rav Yehuda is of the opinion that a wheat stalk is a tree. Now, how do I know that? D'tanya Ilan she'acham imenu Adam Rishon, Rabbi Meir Omer Geffen Haya. What did Adam Rishon eat? What was the Eitz Hadas? So we all think it's an apple, and that is patently wrong. It's not. Of all the various opinions that the Gemara is going to give us, nobody says apple. Okay, fine. So, okay, good. So it's a machlokus, what exactly Adam Rishon ate, but you're never going to see apple. I don't know where that came from. But anyway, we start with Rav Meir. Rav Meir says it was grapes. Had to be, says Rav Meir. Why? No, I skipped a line, I'm sorry. Wine is terrible. Nothing good comes out of wine. The Gemara, by the way, is very ambiguous over its feelings of wine. Right, says it's good, says it's bad. Right, and obviously, by the way, I don't think it's ambiguous. Right, in other words, it's an issue of moderation. Okay. Right, something that it's a skill, it's an art. Moderation is a real skill. But anyway, but the Gemara says that wine is terrible. Shenemar vayesh min hayayin vayishkor. So Noach drank from the wine and he got drunk. So nothing good comes out of wine, and so therefore it must be, if Adam Arishon ate a fruit and it was a bad thing, it's got to be wine. It's got to be grapes. Reb Nechemya Omer Teina Haisa Shebedavish Niskalkal Abo Nitkanu. So Rabbi Nechemya is of the opinion it's a fig. Why? Because that the mistake they made, they used a tikkun from the same tree. When they discovered they were naked, so what did they do? They went back to the same tree. They took the leaf from the tree in order to cover themselves. And Rabbi Yehuda Amar Chita Haisa. Now Rabbi Yehuda says it's wheat. She'ena tinok yodeh lekros abavimah chiyotam tam dagan. Because wheat is connected to chachma. Why is wheat connected to Chachma? A child in his development will start to be able to say mom and dad when he's able to start eating and digesting wheat. Right? You understand the Gemara in terms of the Gemara's understanding of development, the child is nursing for the first 2 years of life. At least. So in other words, when is the food introduced to the child? Only in year three. When the child is actually starting to talk. So you're basically having an intersection of the child eating wheat and the child speaking. So now you understand that because according to Rav Yehuda, wheat is a tree, it's an Elon. So therefore, if I'm eating wheat, just a kernel of wheat, so perhaps the bracha should be bar pre'etz, kamash malan. Here is the Gemara that basically says it. What is a fruit versus what is not a fruit? So a fruit is something that regenerates. I pick it out, and the stem, in other words, the bud will still regrow a fruit the next year around. But if I pick it out and it doesn't regrow, so then therefore it's not a fruit in terms of this halacha, in terms of this halacha of bar priya eitz versus bar priya dama. Pineapple, bar priya dama. Banana, bar priya dama. Right? In other words, they're things that do not regenerate. Apples, oranges, bar priya eitz.
So the wheat tree that he's describing in here is probably something from Gan Eden. It's a different kind of tree. It's not the wheat we know.
I don't know. I would not know enough to make a comment. Does shahakal work for bread and wine? So it's a machlokas subject to a machlokas. So name a kid tonight. The Gemara suggests that perhaps it's a machlokas tonight. Okay, you see bread and you make the following declaration. Wow, beautiful. What a wonderful bread. Wow, thank God that for this bread. So okay, Yatza, you fulfilled your obligation. Dear Reb Meir. So Reb Meir says that's good, that'll work. And Rav Yosi Omer called Mishanim in my bishes, have a chachamim, bebrachos, lo Yatza yidei chavoso. And the chachamim say, no, that's not going to work, that's not a bracha. A bracha, according to Rav Yosi, is anything formulated by the chachamim. If you say something, even though you got all the themes, and you got the basic idea, Rav Yosi says that's not good. It has to be formulaic. You must say it the same way that the Chachamim articulated and instituted it. And any deviation whatsoever is not going to be a fulfillment of the bracha. So the Gemara now suggests, name a Ravuna Damakar, Rav Yosef, Rav Yochan Damakar, Rav Meir. And so now perhaps we can align. So Amlecha Ravuna, so Ravuna will tell you, no, don't do that. Don't pigeonhole me. Anadami Afil Rav Meir, I could agree with Rav Meir, because I'd come look Rav Meir, Asim Alehecha, to come at Kashmei de Pas, Avahecha, to come at Kashmei de Pas, Afil Rav Meir, Moda. Look, because at least there, you mentioned bread. But if you say Shahakol, you didn't even mention bread. How can that work? So maybe Rav Meir would agree with me. And Rav Yochanan Amlecha Anadami Afil Rav Yosi. And Rav Yochanan says, look, maybe I would agree with Rav Yosi. Or Rav Yosi would agree with my position. Because I can look at Rav Yosi, Asim Alem Shem Dekamer Bracha Delot Tekin Rabbanan. Because there, what are you saying? Oh, great bread. Thank God for this bread. You didn't say, you didn't articulate a bracha. Ava Amar Shahakol Nehe B'dvarot Tekin Rabbanan Afil Rav Yosi Moda. But if you say Shahakol, which is a bracha, formulated by the Chachamim, so that's a bracha. It's not the bracha you should be saying. You should be saying a motzi, but at least you're saying a bracha. And let's finish up with the following: Binyamin Raya Krach Rifta. So Binyamin the shepherd, so he ate bread, and after eating the bread, he said the following: V'amar Baruch Mari Dai Pita. Thank God for this bread. Right. Thanks for the grub. Thank you, God. Okay, good. In other words, and that's what he said. Okay, now I'm a Rav Yotza. So Rav says, okay, he was Yotze, meaning good. He benched. Okay, if it were that easy. So then, first of all, Rav says, look, you need to say the Shem Hashem. It has to be Askar Hashem. So he did say Hashem's name. He said Rachmana, okay, the merciful one. So the Gemara says, okay, but benching requires three brachas. Seventh parak of brachas, which we'll get to shortly enough. We're going to learn that you need to make three brachas of benching. My yatsa dekamar Rav nami yatsa yidei bracha rishona. All right. So what Rav meant is, you got the first bracha. You're on the road to benching. You got two more to go. My kamash malan afagav damar b'lashon chol tanina v'elon amar b'chol ashon parsha sota v'iduim ma'aser kriyash ma tefila berachas amazon. Mishnah sota says that you can bench in any language you want. So now is all Rav telling us is a mishnah in sota? No, itzurich sagad alchan mina hanimil damar b'lashon chol ki echad the tekin rabbanan b'lashon kodesh avalo amar b'lashon chol ki echad the tekin rabbanan b'lashon kodesh emalo. Look, if all I had was a Mishnah Sota, I might have thought, pick up an art scroll, bencher, and you could read the English. That'll work. But if I don't do that, but in other words, I paraphrase, I summarize, I might have thought that that doesn't work. So what Rav is telling me is, no, even that'll work. In other words, not only do I translate it into my language, but I also paraphrase and summarize. Kamash Malan, the Chiddush is, that works as well. Okay, we'll stop over here. Right. Tomorrow, pick it up at the two dots. Rabbi Chananya ben Akasha Maratzik Hashbaruch Huzak Yisrael Fiach Achir Bam Torah Mitzvah Shana Manai Chafetz Amantiko Yagdil Torah V'Yadir.